You're listening to the Muslims Down Under podcast. In this podcast, we reflect on topics related to Islam and Muslims, those that are often ignored or misinterpreted. Open your mind to understand what unites us and become mates with Muslims.
Experience discrimination
between religious and contemporary and relevant topics.
Welcome back to another episode of the Muslims Down Under podcast. My name is Sana and I am an associate editor with Muslims Down Under, and I will also be your host for this podcast. With the episode today, we are, of course, keeping in line with the theme of this new series, where we have picked topics that demonstrate and look at the practical way as to how faith remains an ever important part of our daily lives. And in this episode, we'll be looking at parenting, and I will be having this conversation with our co-host Bushra, who we have heard from before in this series and the previous series, and she is the managing editor of Muslims Down Under. So welcome, Bushra. I'm excited to hear from you regarding this topic, given that I'm not a parent, and I'm sure there's a lot that I have to learn and a lot that you can speak to, given that you are a parent and you've had those experiences with your little ones.
Thank you, Sana. Thanks for having me again. I'm also looking forward to today's episode as well. And, you know, as you said, although I am a parent, I can definitely say that I'm not an expert of any sort, and I'm still learning how to navigate parenthood myself. But I think it's definitely a very important topic, and it's also a very vast topic. And I think it's important to just note that one size doesn't fit all when it comes to raising our kids. Any mother of more than one child will know that each child reacts differently to the same parenting techniques, and it's just a constant learning and adjustment for parents to make sure that they're meeting the needs of each of their children.
And I think that's a really important point to mention, because of course it's difficult, and I think I can say that even without being a parent, and it's hard. And so of course what works for one parent might not for the other, but the way that faith obviously plays a part in parenting, I think, is something that we can say is standard across the board. And of course religion provides guidelines for anything, and with parenting it's no different. So I'm excited to see how this episode develops and to hear more from you, and of course from the other people that will be joining us on the episode as well. So before we jump straight into the content, so we want to begin, as always, by hearing from you guys. We want to know what you think. And so we've asked parents about what, you know, they think are important aspects and the roles and responsibilities of parents. Let's listen to what they have to say.
Well, there are lots of aspects of the role of a parent, but I think an important one to guide them in the future is providing structure, a bit of that discipline, and a sense of accountability and responsibility, just depending on your home environments and what things will help, you know, allow for your children to grow up and be the best they can be. And I guess another important aspect would be the role model that you become, you know, being that parent that entitles you to show what you can become, and the children, they look up to you and follow, you know, the things that you'd like to see in them.
Parenthood comes with a lot of responsibility. It's very important for us to instill good morals and good teachings at an early age. And I feel like being parents, that's makes us directly responsible for how they grow up and how what kind of human they become. Obviously, some things you can't avoid. Eventually, they will need to make their own decisions in life, but we need to give them as much good basis, as much a good understanding of what is right and religiously what is accepted. I feel like that is really important at a young age, and that's on us as parents to share that responsibility.
always love that segment because it's always really interesting to hear what the public think about, in this case, the roles and responsibilities of parents. And I'd have to agree with a couple of the things that were mentioned there as well. But if we jump into the content, of course, I think this is something that's accepted. No one would refute this, that parents are role models for their children, right? What parents do, children emulate. And more often than not, it's what their children will then teach their own children, and the cycle will continue. It's unfortunate that in the age in which we're living, research is showing that there's a rising rate in youth crime, and you have more children that are under the supervision of the youth justice system every day. And there has to be something said about the way that maybe the influences that these children had and the environment in which they grew up in. Not that there's necessarily a correlation, but then research and reports have also shown that we have a larger proportion of parents with children working full time. And what this results in is then these parents are absent from their children's lives. And no one's saying, of course, that you should stop working, because we have to work to make money to then provide for our children. But this full-time work ends up taking up so much time that they're absent from their kids' lives. They're not present for their children. And ultimately, this does affect the way that they parent, and this does affect the upbringing of their child.
So from a very young age, the role of a parent is one that has a lifelong impact on children. And in the first 5 years of life, the experiences and relationships that a child has actually stimulates their development, creating millions of connections in their brain. In fact, I read somewhere that a child's brain develops connections faster in the first 5 years than at any other time in their lives. So the brain and the thinking pathways of children are different to those of adults. And these differences influence how children make decisions and behave. And, you know, when we compare children to adults, children have less developed psychological, social, and biological maturity, and these processes that help guide their decision making and behavior. And so if we look at current research, it indicates that the human brain does not reach developmental maturity until a person reaches their mid-20s. So the psychosocial development, which is the development of a person's ability to emotionally, cognitively, and intellectually function in their social environments, does not mature until that age. So most children are receptive and sensitive to the environmental influences because they're using this information to help develop their brains. And as the children grow, their lived experiences help them to develop knowledge, values, attitudes, and beliefs about their world to guide their future thinking and behavior. So there are a lot of factors, I think, that influence this development of a positive upbringing. And this development, of course, is primarily influenced by parents, with research showing that poor parental supervision and parenting skills are associated with a young person's involvement in negative life choices as well.
And I think it is now more important than ever for parents to provide more attention to their children, but more attention to the nurturing of their kids, to nurturing the moral condition of their children. And good moral training is what helps children acquire those attributes that we all like seeing in other people, like patience, humbleness, being self-reliant, being mature. All of these things have to do with the values that parents inculcate in their children. And I don't think that's something that we can argue with. I think we can all agree with the fact that parents do play a vital role when it comes to the moral upbringing of their kids. And a lot of what kids learn, or a lot of the values that they reflect within themselves, come from their families, or, you know, their parents and their family environment.
Exactly. And morality starts with moral behavior being practiced from a very small age. The best way to inculcate such behaviors is when parents act as role models themselves. So what parents do and say guides their child's behavior, their attitudes, and their beliefs from a very young age and, you know, into the future. So from this young age, we need to set up a good base for our children so that when they do become adults, they become productive, contributing members of society.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good segue into the next part of this conversation. And the question being, how can we set up a good base for our children?
I think the first thing is to have pure thoughts and emotions ourselves as parents, because what we think and how we behave, you know, plays a part in shaping the character of the child, even at a prenatal stage, even before they're born. So if we want our children to be good, then our own thoughts and intentions must also be good and pure.
All right. And you know what? Issam has a recipe for situations like this. So The recipe is that when a husband and wife consort together, they should supplicate, "Shield us, O Allah, against Satan, and keep Satan away from whatever thou might bestow upon us." And the substance of the prayer is that we're saying to God, "O Allah, sin is a filthy thing and save us from it, and also safeguard our children from it." So, of course, if you're wanting to, like you've just said, you want a good future, a safe future for your children, you want to safeguard your children, then of course your own thoughts and intentions must be pure when it comes to parenting and when it comes to being a role model for your children.
And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, actually laid down that this training should begin at birth and that children should be taught good manners from their childhood.
And we know how important manners are. And the meaning of the hadith, which you've just mentioned, Bushra, is that a child, as a child, is at the mercy of his parents. Now, this child, he or she absorbs whatever it is that they hear their parents say, they absorb whatever it is that they see them do. And, you know, if anyone here is a parent or has little children around them, they'll know that they latch onto everything. They're like little parrots. Whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of their mouth. The child is a great imitator. And if the parents do not set before him or her a proper model to copy, then that child will go elsewhere to find a model which he can copy. And sometimes that isn't the role model, you know, the role model that the child has chosen isn't the type of role model that you want for your children, because you don't want them to emulate what it is that person does. So the fact that, you know, there might be certain elements of your life and the way that you are as a person that you need to adjust when it comes to your children.
Yeah. And, you know, we've heard things like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, or like father like son, or she's definitely her mother's daughter. And so it's not just psychological research, but also common sense and simple observation, which shows that these adages reflect a truth in human development, that children often grow up to mimic the behavior, beliefs, and attitudes of their parents. So role modeling is one of the most powerful tools I think we can have in our parenting tool belt to influence the direction of our child's character, whatever their age might be. And when we use this to its best advantage, we can pass on these values we want our children to have and to adopt.
Now, before we continue having this great discussion and conversation that we've been having, let's just jump into a quick word from our sponsors.
MuslimsDownUnder.com is sponsored by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community of Australia. Learn something new from our website or our social media pages, or sign up to meet an Aussie Muslim for some coffee and Islam. If you want to know more about Islam from our sponsors, visit their website, What is True Islam, at trueislam.com.au, a subsite of Muslims Down Under, where we provide resources, articles, and video lessons on various aspects of the teachings of Islam.
So we've looked at how important it is that we set up a good base for them, and we look at how important you know, parents are in that. And so then the next step is to look at self-reliance. So parents model appropriate behavior, and this modeling of appropriate behavior then also generates the ability to do things and make decisions yourself without needing other people to help you, which I think for children actually strengthens the interpersonal relationship between parents and children. So of course, they're being shown how to do things, and eventually these are the things that they'll be able to do themselves.
Yeah, and to nurture self-reliance in children means that we should be able to respect them. So as parents, as teachers, and as role models, we need to respect our children and acknowledge their efforts, even if they don't meet our expectations sometimes. I know sometimes it can be so easy to get frustrated. You know, we just want our children, our toddlers, to put on their shoes and quickly get in the car. And, you know, we've repeated ourselves multiple times and we end up losing our patience. But I think these are the exact moments where composure will serve us well. And when we look back, we'll see that where these were the actual opportunities to build connections through our example and to be that role model that is patient and that is kind and understanding.
And like you've said, of course, parents are teachers here when it comes to this self-reliance. And instead of getting frustrated with the child, I think we should respect their own innate learning ability, and we should appreciate the effort that they're putting in, because I think often we forget that all of this is just normal for us. You know, we do things in a particular way. We know how to do these things. Having to learn it and being so small, and you're trying to learn everything else that this world has to teach you at the same time, it's quite easy to get frustrated. And I think we have to acknowledge that in children. And the Holy Prophet, on whom be peace, has said, "Do not curse a child, for when you curse, angels add, let it be like that, and like that he becomes."
Yes, so that just basically means that whatever our child hears from us heavily influences the way that they think about themselves. And so if we're constantly degrading them or telling them off, eventually they're going to develop inferiority complexes, and this hinders their development and learning abilities. So, you know, verbal abuse, I think, is one of the most common and also most overlooked forms of abuse on children. Most times it's just passed off as a form of disciplining or tough love. But being a positive role model actually requires effort, it requires forethought and self-control for most of us as parents. And because our children are watching us all the time, our actions, our beliefs, attitudes, they become integrated into our children's way of being. And the second caliph of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, His Holiness Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, may God be pleased with him, also wrote a book on the Islamic theory of morals and how this translates into our daily life. And this book is especially for parents, and it's called The Way of the Seekers. And he writes that address a child politely and courteously, for a child is a great mimic. If you address it rudely, it will return the compliment in kind.
Yes, exactly. Children are great mimics. And we know that whatever it is that you do, they're going to emulate. And if you treat them in a particular way, which, you know, it may be frustration, that's what they're going to think is, okay, well, then that's how you react when something's not going your way. And another way to inculcate self-reliance in our children is actually to not overindulge them. The second caliph has written, so much petting or caressing leads to many vices. When such a child sits in society, it expects to be fondled. But it's really hard to find that balance. And, you know, I'm not even a parent, and I know that, you know, I have, younger cousins, I have a nephew, and it's easy to, you know, just smother them in love. And if they're upset about something or they're angry about something, to just, you know, give them whatever they want. But of course, when we look at this in terms of the broader picture, you're raising children to set them up to be conscientious members of our society. And rightly, you know, like the second caliph said, that when that child sits in society, then it has certain expectations that just aren't going to be met.
Exactly. And the simple habit of self-reliance encourages the child as they mature to not live their life to satisfy others or to meet other people's expectations. They learn how to be independent and not only do things themselves, but also think for themselves as well.
Yes. And this way they'll create harmony in society and please both their creator, the God Almighty, and also their parents. As Islam teaches that obedience to parents is highly meritable. It's so important. And children need to learn right from wrong. And of course, this can really only be done is only through a successful, you know, loving environment where the rules need to be easy to understand, the rules need to be consistent. And this is what's going to enable them to become self-reliant. You know, if we look at an example when it comes to things like chores and giving children chores to do, but it's about that consistency. It's about having an environment that fosters learning, nurturing environment that makes you want to learn. And, you know, one, you're becoming a better or a positive contributor to our society, but of course, more importantly, you are pleasing God Almighty because you're being obedient to your parents, and in turn, you're pleasing your parents.
Yeah, and you know, parents who continually change these rules or give in to persuasion, they're likely to create confused children who are unsure of how to act. We need to set our rules and stick to them, but at the same time, be flexible and let our kids be self-reliant. So, you know, we need to try and avoid changing our decisions too much or allowing our children to win us over just so that we can keep the peace. So let your kids learn from the mistakes as they grow and start realizing right from wrong, and they'll end up making better decisions.
All right, this is a good point to move to the next step. And broadly speaking, it's about healthy eating habits. And I think this is a really big topic of concern for parents, about children having good health and developing good healthy eating habits, which I think are extremely difficult for adults to do. So I can only imagine how difficult it is for parents to inculcate these habits in children. Healthy habits not only contribute to, of course, good health in children, but I actually think there is something to be said about the fact that it can help in the moral upbringing of a child as well.
I agree. And I think one healthy habit is feeding your children at a fixed time. I've learnt this myself over time as well. And I've learned that, you know, giving your children food just to keep them quiet or keep them busy or less disruptive if we're out is not a good habit to develop in children. And this doesn't mean we're going to starve our kids if they're hungry, but, you know, having some sort of discipline and routine in eating, it actually breeds the habit of self-control. And so kids learn how to resist temptation as well. And in the book, The Way of the Seekers, it also highlights that regular food habits will further lead to the following good habits. So we've got punctuality, self-control, good health, cooperation. So children who learn to cooperate, they won't be egocentric or selfish because they'll learn to eat when others are eating. And the last one is frugality. So children won't suffer from the bad habit of wastefulness and extravagance.
And I think you've said everything that can be said about that. So I think we can move on to something that I think is potentially a little bit controversial, potentially something that people hold differing views on, like many things. But if I put it or, you know, pose it to you as a question, how white are your white lies? So if we're looking at white lies or we're looking at the statistics regarding white lies, many parents have told their child a white lie or two. Usually it's with the best of intentions and you're thinking about your children in that time, not necessarily about the fact that, oh, this might be a lie. Now, the research suggests that 45% of parents tell their children a white lie at least once a week, and a fifth, so 20%, tell them well-meaning untruths daily to satisfy their curious minds. Now, I'm curious to know, Bushra, what it is that you think about that. And I actually think this will be an interesting question that our listeners can let us know what they think about that and what their stance is on that through, you know, our social media channels as well. But yeah, what is it that you think about that?
Yeah, although so many parents are doing this, it's obviously not a good habit to have. And personally, I think it's probably one of the most important things we can teach our children, not to lie, no matter how big or small the lie is. And sometimes it is just very seemingly innocent, you know, things like telling your kids that when the ice cream truck is playing music, it's out of ice cream. But psychologists say that children pick up things like insincerity very cleverly, and telling smaller white lies tells them it's okay. And this then may lead to a situation where they will eventually start lying about bigger things. So telling trivial lies actually desensitizes the part of the brain that promotes the feeling of unease we get when we lie. So it becomes easier for them to lie.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're talking about habits and consistency and building good habits in children. I think the fact that if you're consistent with white lies, it's actually building the bad kind of habit. And the Holy Quran, specifically on the topic of lying, the Holy Quran says, "O ye who believe, be strict in observing justice and be witnesses for Allah, even though it be against yourselves or against parents and kindred, whether he be rich or poor. Allah is more regardful of them both than you are. Therefore, follow not low desires so that you may not be able to act equitably. And if you conceal the truth or evade it, then remember that Allah is well aware of what you do." And that specific quote is from chapter 4, verse 136 of the Quran. And, you know, I don't even think that requires an explanation, but a lie is a lie, whether it be, you know, a small little white lie that you've just told because, you know, you don't actually have any negative intentions by it. You're not trying to evade the truth, but the fact is you are evading the truth. And it's always important to remember that Allah is watching all that you do. And one who has a habit of lying actually loses their capacity to be self-reliant. And I think it hinders an individual's growth both mentally, and it also hinders the ability to form good interpersonal relationships, because eventually white lie, you know, you tell a white lie, you tell another white lie, and that continues to build. And then where do you end up drawing that line that, no, this is a white lie and this is a lie lie? You know, I think it's easy to just categorize everything as the fact that that's a lie and that's something that we should stay away from. And that constant lying or consistency when it comes to lying and telling lies, I think can only lead down a negative path, and it can lead to certain levels of anxiety, potentially even levels of depression. Not in terms of the fact that you could be formally diagnosed with that, but I mean it in the sense that it's not the truth. And when you're not telling the truth, I think it can just lead to more issues. And ultimately, things that lead to issues can create or be a concern for mental health issues down the road.
Yeah, I think we need to teach our children to admit their mistakes as a matter of habit. We shouldn't try to hide our own mistakes before our children as well. Again, you know, we want to be that role model. And if we make a mistake, we should openly admit it instead of lying about it or hiding it from them. But at the same time, we do need to be sympathetic when our child does commit a mistake, because I think for a child to tell the truth, they need to feel safe and secure in their relationship with us as a parent. And they need to feel comfortable enough to be honest with us. And so when they do admit something to us, that they've made a mistake, we need to teach them that their action has caused a kind of loss, or, you know, that their action has consequences. And this will then prevent them from repeating that mistake. So, you know, for example, if a child has broken something, we could ask them to pay for that loss with their pocket money, and they'll realize that, you know, what they've done has consequences and it's not something that's okay in the long term. And I think also, if we do want to reprimand our child, we shouldn't do it in front of others. We should always do it in privacy.
And those are all so important. And all these things that stem from telling the truth also establish that fundamental concept of justice, of being fair. And I think that's really important for children to understand from an early age, because when you're inculcating these elements of telling the truth and justice and fairness, you're inculcating a positive moral compass in your child, a positive, inculcating a positive moral compass of justice. Because then when you're looking at if you're encouraging your child that to be just and to be fair is important, then you avoid, you know, that negative behavior. And through justice, a lot of negative behavior can also be reformed. And if you think about any children that you know, children can then apply that strong sense of fairness, not only to themselves, but then they stand up for others. And you think about that when it comes to children not sharing toys or pulling, you know, snatching toys from other kids. And then you do have those kids there that will step in who will be like, well, that's not fair. This is this child's toy. This is this child's toy. Or even in things that when a parent says no to them and children have the guts to be like, well, that's not fair, you know, that's what I want to have. They have those ideas of fairness in them. And in a positive sense, it allows them to stand up for others. It will prevent things like bullying and standing up for kids to have their backs. And I think those are really important values for children to have.
Yeah. So speaking of another aspect of justice, we often hear kids being kids saying things like, you know, that's not fair. But helping children understand fairness is an important part of growing up and practicing empathy. And so I think when we understand what others need and perhaps what we don't, we recognize our differences and we end up thinking a little beyond ourselves. So to teach this to our children, to, you know, help them think about other people's feelings, I think that develops that empathy, and we'll have children that will be more willing to share and be happy with other people's happiness as well.
Look, in the end, I think having a healthy relationship between a parent and child is absolutely fundamental to establishing all these moral qualities in children. And when a parent is not only a parent, but also a friend, it helps nurture those qualities in children. And look, don't get me wrong, I know that's really hard to try and figure out how to be a friend, but also a parent, and not be too much of a friend that then you're not, you know, a parent, and all the other questions that come with that as well. But I think it's important about having that approachability and the ability for you to talk about these important concepts with kids on a, not an adult level, but on their level, something that they're going to understand. And if a person reforms themselves and tries to be a role model, then naturally a child will follow suit. We all make mistakes, but it's about rectifying those mistakes, and it's about children seeing you rectifying those mistakes. So ultimately, the take-home message is that when parents are friends with their children, they can be genuine, they can be open, and that true kind of friend, not just the friend that, you know, because you want to know what they're doing, but a friend that kind of friend that you would want for you, that has your back, that's going to tell you when you're wrong, that's going to call you out, but that's also going to help you become a better person. So then, you know, playing the role as both a friend and a parent, you'll naturally balance things out. And that balance can be hard, I think, to find, but I think once it's established, it's there forever.
And as parents, when we develop these life skills that we've just discussed, we give our children skills that are based on morality. And I think this approach is in accordance with the teachings of Islam. Islamic teachings enable parents to inculcate that moral awareness of right and wrong in their children in a very balanced way, so that children grow to learn and understand that they need to conform to rules. They need to understand boundaries within society and in their homes as well.
Thank you so much, Bushra, for having this conversation with me. And I think that sums up everything quite nicely. I've really enjoyed having this conversation. I've actually learned so much because I think sometimes when things don't affect you, it's not a phase of life that you're going through right now. For example, I'm not a parent. Then you don't necessarily, you know, have those conversations with other people about faith, about parenting, and how Islam provides guidelines when it comes to being a parent. So it's been really really educational for me as well. And I think this leads quite nicely into our next segment, where we have a wonderful mother and teacher who I had the opportunity to sit down with and just ask a few questions. And that's coming up next. So keep listening.
Discrimination between religion and contemporary and relevant topics.
So today's special guest joining us on this episode is Sarah Ward. Now, Sarah Ward is from London, and not only is she a mother of three and a teacher, but she's also a regular on the Voice of Islam UK. Now, with all these qualifications under her belt, she, of course, has a wealth of experience and knowledge and insight regarding parenting and what that looks like and what it's looked like in her experiences. She'll be talking to us about, the proper moral upbringing of children, and not only from her perspective as a mother, having kids herself, but also as a teacher. So she has this unique experience, and she can shed light on this concept of parenting from both perspectives. And she has some incredible knowledge regarding raising kids and encouraging good habits and good morals when, you're raising your children. So we can jump straight into the first question, which is, how important is it to choose the right type of friends? What can parents actually do to guide their children on this path, on this journey, and how can they guide their children to actually make a conscious effort in the making of good friends?
So it is absolutely important that people choose the right type of friends. You see it in the classroom so often that some children are led very easily by others. And I'll just give you an example of my own youngest son. I vividly remember, because it was quite, revealing and sort of surprising to me, when he started his first class at primary school, on the day that he had to go in and meet the teacher, the class were there with their parents and they had a story time and so on. And I saw him immediately take a shine to one particular child. And in fact, he sort of followed this child around and sat next to him in the circle where they were listening. And I watched that and I saw that, he really likes this child. Something, he's seen something in this child that he thinks is something he would make friends with, or, he could see a friendship developing. And that child's behaviour was, as they went to school, I got to know them better. That child's behaviour wasn't great. And I watched this particular child, even at such a young age, have a huge influence over all of the children in his class. He had sort of a magnetic personality, and that's a great trait for that child to have. Unfortunately, it sometimes came across as a bit controlling. But
so then, following from that, what did you end up doing about this child and the effect that his personality was actually having on your child?
For me, I saw how instantly this magnetic personality attracted lots of the children in the class. And it took a lot of time for me to speak to my son over the years and say to him that, is this someone that's a good influence? Do you want to follow this person? Do you want to do what he's telling you to do? And in fact, it was only when a couple of years later, he had a conker on a string that broke. And the first child, his conker broke, and then he wanted my son to give him his conker that he had. And that was the point at which my son realized, okay, no, I'm not going to just follow what this child is telling me to do. And that was the point at which he started to think more carefully about following the instructions of this child or not. And, this was not done with malice on behalf of that child. It was just a skill he had.
So I guess what I've, taken from this is that knowing your children's friends is such an important aspect of being a parent. And this is something my own parents did as well with our friends. So I can understand that there's that need to make sure you're aware of who they're spending their time with, and how their time is spent is a very important thing to know as a parent.
So friends have a huge influence. They can impact our mood. They can impact our choices. They impact how we learn in the classroom. And you do have these kind of dominant magnetic personalities in every class. So you really have to know your child, know their friends from a young age, talk to them, discuss with them, and make sure that you are having that open conversation from a young age. If you're able to go into the school and volunteer, I used to go in and do library sessions once a week. And then actually I was fortunate enough that I worked at the school where my children were if you have that chance, I would recommend that. Get to know the children, go on school trips if you can, and then you can have that discussion. Also, you know, invite the children to your house so that you can see them in front of you, and guide your children gently, not with harshness, but just guide them gently and guide them to reflect on the what they're getting out of the friendship, and praise them when they make good choices. If they've been a good friend, if they've been kind, if they've been compassionate, make sure your child knows that you appreciate that, you see that, and you value that. And boost them and make them feel like they're making good choices. I think those things are quite essential.
Okay, my next question then is that from your experience, can you give the parents that are listening some advice on how they can keep a consistent balance between being friendly, but also, of course, being a parent in charge of their children's moral upbringing? And I think this is the million-dollar question.
I think that this question is a very difficult question. How can a parent find this balance? It depends so much on the needs of your child and the needs of your family and the situation and their age as well. I have three children. They're all very different, and I kind of interact with them in very different ways when I recognize and know their needs. I do obviously listen to the sermons of our Khalifa, where he gives lots of advice, and they're always useful. You can take that advice from the Quran also about not being too harsh. And one thing that I heard recently from a friend of mine is that there is a hadith, I can't quote it exactly, where, you know, in terms of teaching the children the prayers, for example, you know, we have this well-known example that from the age of 7, you should encourage them. And then from the age of 10, you should insist. But another part of that teaching is that actually from 12 or 13, you should not insist more as they get older. You should make that switch, and I'm paraphrasing it, you should make that switch to where they're independently taking responsibility and you don't force them further after that sort of 13, 14 age. And I think that's very true, that when they get to 13, 14, it's a really, really delicate age, and anger and forcing them, which, you know, I can say, of course, we all feel at times, is not really usually productive. And you get into this sort of back and forth sometimes with your child, to and fro. And sometimes it's better for the parent just to keep calm and quiet. And I've had to learn that. It's taken time. I won't say I've done that successfully every single time. It's something I've learnt. You have to just remain calm and let the child maybe express their feelings, even if that's anger, and then discuss it with them at a time when they are calm. If your child is emotional and angry, there's no point trying to have a logical conversation with them at that point. Let them come down from their emotions and then have that discussion.
And to wrap it all up, what's the one thing that you'd like to share with our parents listening today? Or what is the takeaway message, I guess, that you'd like the parents to take from your segment with us today?
I think probably when I was younger, I didn't reflect enough about what kind of parent I wanted to be. I was living with the day-to-day nappy changing, bottle feeding, washing, cleaning, cooking, bedtime routines, getting overwhelmed with that. And I probably hadn't reflected enough on what type of parent I wanted to be.
Thank you so much for your time and for sharing all your knowledge with us today. We really appreciate you being with us. We appreciate you sacrificing your time and joining us for this episode of the podcast. And hopefully we can maybe have you on a couple of episodes in the future as well. And before we end end things for this episode and moving on to the part of the episode where we give you all a book recommendation, a book that we have found that is in line with what we're trying to talk about today is a book called Be Water, My Friend by Shannon Lee, who is Bruce Lee's daughter. So Bruce Lee's daughter talks about her father's most powerful life philosophies, demonstrating how martial arts a perfect metaphor for growth and development and actually how we actually practice those things every day. And these teachings are ones that actually strongly resonate with what we've discussed in today's episode, hence why we thought this would be a good book recommendation. So as parents, you know, we look at things like what are the life skills we need to be developing in our children during their growth and our development and how we can do this. And each chapter of the book looks at a lesson from Bruce Lee's teaching. So expanding on his foundation or the foundation of his iconic Be Water philosophy. And over the course of the book, you actually look at how being like water allows us to embody fluidity and naturalness in life, actually bringing us closer to our essential flowing nature. A couple of the quotes that resonated with us when we were having a look through the book and wanting to recommend it to you all to read as well is one of the things that he says is, instead of buying your children all the things you never had, you should teach them all the things you were never taught, because material wears out but knowledge stays. And I don't even think that needs any sort of explanation. And I think as parents, we try very hard. And again, I keep saying we, but I think as parents, the role is one in which you try to impart as much knowledge as you can on your children, because like it said, knowledge is what stays. Another quote is that knowledge will give you power, but character respect. Choose the positive. You have choice. You are the master of your attitude. Choose the positive, the constructive. Optimism is a faith that leads to success. And I think these are the backbones of any of the lessons or any of the points that we were trying to get across in today's episode. So kind of bringing it all down into a couple key points, the book tries to emphasize that developing life skills and morality is absolutely key. Parents should spend time teaching their children life skills, and it's not all about materialism. Another quote is that knowing is not enough, but we must apply. Willing is not enough, but you have to do. So again, that kind of gives a message that telling kids what to do is not enough, but you have to be role models. You have to show them that action, action is the way. So definitely read that book and let us know what you take away from it, because we'd love to hear from you about what you thought. And that sadly brings us to the end of another episode of the Muslims Down Under podcast. Look, we've discussed a lot today about parenting, but I think it's been presented in a really helpful way, a way that is easy to understand and, you know, easy practical steps that we can implement in our lives today. So if you have any questions or you have anything you'd like to share about this episode, please do. You can definitely get in contact with us through any of our social media channels. We are active across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can even find us on Telegram, but just shoot through a message and we'll definitely have a look and get back to you. You can even have a look through our website, which is www.muslimsdownunder.com, and you can find blogs and articles and editorials related to parenting, but also to many other topics. We will end the episode here, but we definitely hope you'll join us in the next episode of the Muslims Down Under podcast. Peace be upon you.